It was a stunning start to the last 16 with goals galore across Europe. The Madrid derby did not disappoint. Three fantastic finishes saw Real Madrid secure a narrow first leg lead. Arsenal hit seven in Eindhoven. Lille fought back to draw at Dortmund. And Aston Villa scored twice late on to take control against Club Brugge. We'll review it all and look ahead to four more knockout stage fixtures on Wednesday over the next 30 minutes. Welcome along with myself, Chris Parrott, the round of 16 in this season's UEFA Champions League, well and truly underway. The first of four nights over the next 8 days to determine who will make it through to the quarterfinals. And this is how it finished on Tuesday. Real Madrid beating Atletico 2-1 in that Madrid derby at the Bernabeu. Club Brugge 1, Aston Villa 3 in Belgium. Over the border in the Netherlands, PSV 1, Arsenal 7. What a night for Mikel Arteta's team. And in Germany, Dortmund 1, Lille 1. To talk about it all, I'm joined by the European football expert Alvaro Romeo and football commentator Richard Kaufman. Alvaro, start with you. What a night. Some big, big wins for three of the sides involved.
Definitely. I mean, Arsenal looks like they have wrapped it up. That's for sure, winning 7-1. Club Brugge played well in the second half, but they couldn't cope with Aston Villa's efficiency up front. Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid show that they are two sides that we have to take into consideration because they are capable of winning this Champions League. The show of professionality from both has been incredible. And then a draw between Dortmund and Lille that leaves everything alive for the second leg.
It certainly does. Rich, you commentated on the match at the Bernabeu. We thought it was going to be good. It was as, and we'll get into it in more detail shortly, as Alvaro said, it was two teams, I think, in the end, who didn't necessarily want to lose the tie in the first leg after a barnstorming first period.
Yeah, I think both Diego Simeone and Carlo Ancelotti will both be able to take some satisfaction from what they saw. I mean, for Ancelotti, Kylian Mbappe, so quiet, but his team are leading 2-1. And Diego Simeone will have great belief that his team have those capabilities to turn things around in the second leg, all to play for.
Let's get into it then. The first Madrid derby in the UEFA Champions League since they met in the semi-finals back in 2017. Richard and Alvaro had the pleasure of watching it.
Played inside the fullback here. Rodrigo's got inside. He's inside the penalty area. Left footed shot into the back of the net. What a start from Real Madrid. And what a finish from Rodrigo. That was sensational. Griezmann now to Alvarez. Left hand edge of the area. Comes in field. Wins the challenge. Shoots. Scores. What a goal. Julian Alvarez has made it 1-1. That is a super goal. Mendy back to Brahim Diaz, inside the penalty area, squeezes between two, gets round three and scores! What a goal that is from Brahim Diaz! The first goal was super tonight, the second superb, I think the third just topped it! And Real Madrid back in front.
And that strike in the second half was ultimately the difference from Brahim Diaz. You heard Richard's commentary there. Three goals, three strikes of exceptional quality, different. But Richard, to start with you, because I thought you summed it up beautifully in the moment, actually. I mean, if you're into top class forward play, I think individually and some of the move collectively to create the chance, it was right up there for all three goals this evening.
Yeah, and I think that encapsulates the overall match because there was very efficient goalkeeping, superb defending, great tactics, terrific midfield battles, and players capable of producing the magic in the final third. It's kind of everything you want as a purist from a match like this. It's a derby. Sometimes they can be dull affairs. You know, these are two teams that see each other so often domestically and, as we know, in European football. But they didn't disappoint, and it really whets the appetite for 8 days' time.
Yeah, and it began early. 3-1-1 draws, I think, in a row between these two, Richard, you mentioned in commentary. And then 4 minutes in, a pass from Valverde and Rodrigo's finish really kind of set the tie, set the night alight.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it was a beautiful goal. Fede Valverde, he's a midfielder. He was playing today as a right back. And he got some panorama in front of him, some time to give the pass. He gave it through pass. Javi Galán couldn't cope with it. I will say that Rodrigo's first touch was key, because he literally, with his first touch, he left Javi Galán behind. Then he went in the box. We know that Rodrigo has what we call pausa. He thought in the box what he could do. He executed it perfectly, and it looked like Atletico de Madrid could lose the plot, but they didn't, because I think that Atletico de Madrid plans these scenarios. I don't know if they train these scenarios as well, but you could see them that they weren't obviously comfortable with the scoreline, but they had a plan for it, and that's why the game didn't die. The game was pretty much alive even after Rodrigo scored in 4 minutes. Within 4 minutes, nothing had happened in the game, and suddenly Atletico Madrid was losing 1-0, and they were probably wondering why, but they had a plan.
Yeah, Richard, these two teams are separated by nothing in Spain, both in the title race along with Barcelona, and many teams after that start and the way suddenly Real Madrid attacked could easily have conceded a second, who knows, maybe even a third. But how impressive was it that they wrestled back the initiative and then, as we heard, scored their own fabulous strike from Alvarez?
This is a team that's got great belief and great confidence, that feels that they might not just win one trophy this season, but maybe two or three in Atletico Madrid. We know they've got to get past Real Madrid. They've got to get past Barcelona in the Copa del Rey, and they've got to get past Real Madrid and Barcelona in the league chase. But they are a team that have got all the capabilities. They've got the strength in depth. They have this never say die attitude that we've always seen from Diego Simeone's team. And they are going to be dangerous in that second leg. We saw that today. There is no panic in this team. They go a goal down, where they've been in that situation before. Trailing going into the 90th minute, that's also not necessarily a problem for them either.
Yeah, and I think that today, nobody was too uncomfortable with the scoreline. Obviously, Real Madrid was fine with it, but Atletico de Madrid, they were losing in the second half, and Simeone brought the centre back in instead of Antoine Griezmann, I believe. So, you know, there is a sense that Atletico de Madrid probably will be fine with it. Obviously, of course, they will have to take some risks at Metropolitano in a week time, and the team will have to attack with a little bit more of hunger, maybe, because today I could see that in order not to lose the ball in sensitive key areas and give Real Madrid the chance to counter-attack, Atletico de Madrid prefer to keep the possession than sending a cross, prefer to keep the possession than sending a long pass. And you know, this is a strategy that at some point during this tie they will have to change.
Just wonder, extra time and penalties, it's not impossible. Next week,
we have seen it in 2016 in the final between them both.
And 2014 went to extra time as well after that very late goal. We've had some wonderful games. Atleti have often recently been on the wrong end of them ultimately, but can they cause a comeback in the second leg? Live commentary on Match Day Live, the full game on Wednesday the 12th of March. And Richard, finally from you on this game, double chance for Real Madrid right at the end when Kylian Mbappe, his cross was very well defended, otherwise it would have been a tap-in for Vinicius Junior, and then came back to Luka Modric, and you thought, here's the moment for the veteran midfielder to score another big goal in the Champions League in the white of Real Madrid.
Yeah, his 41st derby appearance
41st,
tonight.
41st.
41st. And then, yeah, the 43 is the record, Sergio Ramos, so he's plays next week. He's one behind that. But yeah, player of his class, you thought when it fell to him that maybe there's going to be a late goal here for Real Madrid. He shot it straight at Jan Oblak. An opportunity
that if Real Madrid had scored it, then suddenly they would be big favourites. But as it stands, at 2-1, they're the slight favourites heading into that match in 8 days.
It's going to be brilliant in the Metropolitano. Still to come this evening, we'll look at Tuesday's other matches and look ahead to Wednesday's games. Four more round of 16 ties get underway then.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Okay, next to Eindhoven and a historic night for Arsenal. They faced PSV and Bill Leslie was watching this one.
Trossard, five in the middle here for Arsenal. Rice is one of them. Hung up by Rice, Timbers there! The Dutchman on Dutch soil gives the North London side the lead. Trossard sliding it through to Lewis Skelly. And he do well to keep it alive. And Guarneri rifles it home. Oh, the team combination hits the high notes in the Champions League. And Arsenal, in double quick time, are 2-0 up.
Doing his best to try and get on the end of the ball. It's scrappy and it's still
Marino. Oh, Marino can't believe his luck, but Arsenal have a third. And we've only just played half an hour.
In by Noah Lang. Plenty of pushing and shoving in there.
What's he given here, the referee? Penalty. He's given the penalty to PSV. Noah Lang to take it. It's Lang. And David Raya could hardly move before it had gone past him. That's how you hit a penalty. Hope for PSV.
Here's the scorer of the second, Guarneri.
And there's Odegaard, and there's the fourth for Arsenal. A scintillating start to the second half for the Gunners. But as far as PSV are concerned, that is a disaster.
Calafiore, Arsenal's first half substitute.
Second half, Madison, Trossard! Arsenal have five! Two goals inside the first 3 minutes of this second half. And this tie is being snatched away from PSV Eindhoven's grasp.
Marino, Odegaard, in no mood to relent.
It's Odegaard! Benitez couldn't keep it out. Arsenal have six, Odegaard has two. And I think Arsenal can book their tickets to Madrid already.
Those attacking statistics, both sides actually having the same number of attempts on goal, but Arsenal, who've struggled in the department of being clinical in recent weeks, have certainly been tonight,
and Calafiore has another! Seven goals from six different scorers. Arsenal have entered Champions League dreamland here.
They certainly did, and with it they became the first team in UEFA Champions League history to score seven or more goals away from home in a knockout stage match. Pretty extraordinary from Mikel Arteta and his team, who the narrative in England has been that they've struggled to score goals in the English Premier League, but not in Europe. And this all came actually, Alvaro, after PSV had a major chance to take the lead. Ismaïla Sidibé,
yep,
rattled the crossbar. It gets lost now, of course, because they've lost 7-1. But after that, it was an exhibition from Arsenal.
Yeah, that crossbar from Salivari, it's an anecdote now. Then Arsenal's firepower was too much for PSV. I guess that when you are in a bad run, you know, every setback is a big setback. And you could really tell today. Arsenal had six different scorers in the game. We know that they are missing a lot of strikers, and yet they managed to inflict this. It's a team that, you know, collectively is really good. It's going to be almost impossible for PSV to change this situation around. The biggest comeback in the Champions League history was 4-0 from PSG to Barcelona. That was, you know, overturned in the second leg at Camp Nou.
Yep.
I find it very difficult for this to happen, but you never know. I would say that for Arsenal, this is a very refreshing victory. You know, when they win, they can win big as well. And they will be facing Real Madrid or Atletico de Madrid. So, you know, I think that they will be ready for that challenge.
They were through to the round of 16 after finishing in the top eight, Richard. They're actually out of the Champions League for a long time for a club of all they've achieved, particularly this century and in the 90s. They reached the quarterfinals last season. Are you seeing another growth and them truly believing now that they belong in the top eight? Who knows, maybe the semi-finals of this competition?
I'm not too convinced by that. I know a fantastic result tonight. There will be obviously fingers pointed at who they were playing. You know, a team that has lost twice in a row against Go Ahead Eagles, one of them in the cup, and have been struggling domestically. But Arsenal also haven't quite been at it. We know some of the reasons why. And if you don't, you know, many of their offensive players have been injured, in particular Saka. Now, Saka could be back should Arsenal go on, and we assume from this result they will. Saka could be back for the quarterfinal against one of the Madrid teams. That would naturally be a big boost for them, but they're going to have some tough nights ahead to progress beyond the quarterfinals. Listen, fantastic for their confidence. No strikers, no problem. Lots of goal scorers, some great performances. Wanyeri scoring again tonight.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
What a prospect he looks. And for Arsenal, disappointment with the way they challenged at the top of the Premier League, but they are second.
So
it's not like they've been having a bad season. And, well, listen, you never know. You never know.
Martin Odegaard picked up the official UEFA Player of the Match.
I can see why.
He was sensational, everywhere, wasn't he?
I mean, have you seen the nonchalance in the pass to Calafiori in the last goal of Arsenal? Well, I mean, he is a player that, you know, he left Real Madrid. Real Madrid thought that they were well provided, and they didn't need another midfielder. But he's a joy to watch, and you know, he gets the ball under pressure and he doesn't lose it. His physical display has gone up season by season. Luckily, he's back from injury,
yeah,
and he looks strong again.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because man of the match tonight,
yeah,
and we know how big confidence is. Maybe tonight's the kind of performance that sparks an excellent end to the season for Arsenal.
Well, the man who got the opener was the Dutch international, Jurrien Timber. We can hear from him now.
Massive performance from the team. I'm proud of the guys. We showed today in the Champions League again that we're capable of a lot, and we put ourselves in a good position for next week.
Yeah, Jurrien Timber, who made his name at Ajax. Before that, he did spend 6 years at Feyenoord in the youth ranks. So he played for the other two of the big three in the Netherlands, and of course he scored the opening goal away at PSV. So Arsenal, the 7-1 lead to take back to the second leg on Wednesday, the 12th of March. Next, we'll head to Germany. It was a much tighter affair in the first leg of this round of 16. Dortmund hosted Lille, who were one of the big stories from the league face, finishing in the top eight, coming up against many of the biggest names in European football and doing amazingly well. So how would they do at the BVB Stadion? Well, Jonathan Pearce was the man to find out.
Ryerson's corner kick that will come away from goal right-footed. Higher than I thought it would be. Looking for Can and hit brilliantly in for the opening goal of the game by Karim Adeyemi. Scored that so sweetly. It's a deserved goal for Borussia Dortmund. That's a good ball forward. Haraldsson gets the ball out of his feet and equalises for Lille. Midway through the second half, and it's been coming.
Really good move for that equaliser for Hakon Anar Haraldsson. The reverse pass from Jonathan David. But the opening goal from Karim Adeyemi. We've told you about the three special strikes at the Bernabeu. Alvaro, who was commentating on that game, therefore didn't see the majestic beauty of Adeyemi's finish. He's just watched it, and everyone, I would advise to go and watch it on UEFA.com and on the official Champions League app, the highlights there. Talk us through it. Left-footed volley struck as sweetly as you will ever see from Adeyemi.
Yeah, it's a lawn mower. It cuts the grass. It goes on top of the grass, 10 millimetres, no more.
Yeah.
Just floating over it. Thiago Alcantara scored a very similar one once with Liverpool. I remember that perfectly. But this one, I don't know what to say. I mean, I was very adamant that Julian Alvarez's goal was the best one I saw tonight. But this one, and from the angle I'm watching it, I mean, it's a pure beauty. It's art, really. It's a lovely strike against a Lille side that in the Champions League, they've been so impressive. Mm-hmm. Spanish sides have suffered a lot against Lille in this current Champions League, just to say that they beat Real Madrid to start with.
Round of 16 for only the second time. They've never gone further, lost Lille, but Bruno Genesio and his team, as I mentioned, finished in the top eight, so straight through to this stage. You mentioned Real Madrid. They also face Atletico, Juventus and Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And they're outside of the top four in the moment in France. They were beaten quite comfortably by Paris Saint-Germain at the weekend. But this competition, and again, trailing away from home at Dortmund, we know how they can blow teams away with the huge support they get. So very impressive for them to stay in the game. And as you heard from Jonathan Pearce, deservedly get the equaliser to take back to Northern France next week.
And if you look at the stats, they haven't been particularly worse than Dortmund in any department either. They stayed competitive. You know that, and they know that they are not going to challenge for the domestic title, and maybe that makes them dangerous as well. The fact that they are released from those duties, and you know what I have seen from them in the Champions League is very impressive. Match of the day today, Haraldsson.
Yep.
This Lille side beat Atletico de Madrid in autumn, and Real Madrid, they drew with Juventus as well. Maybe in a long run in a league, they find it difficult to cope and to keep the pace with a team like Paris. But in the Champions League, in knockout stages, they can be dangerous, and they have proven it today.
Haraldsson was the official UEFA player of the match. Let's hear from him.
They can expect a lot of power, energy. The crowd in Lille gives us a lot, so we'll be ready there. We have the home game left. We already finished away game. It's 0-0, so everything can happen at home. I feel like we have the advantage there, so we have advantage to go through.
A regular goal scorer in his two seasons at Lille, only 21, the Iceland international. His goal ensured it finished 1-1 in Germany. There was one early match on Tuesday. Aston Villa made the trip to Belgium to take on Club Brugge. The second time that they've done that this season. They were beaten there in the league phase. Could they do any better in the round of 16? Here's how this one unfolded. Martin Tyler was on commentary.
Looking to get off to a good start here. And they have done just that. In with a superb finish is Leon Bailey. Brilliant beginning for the club from the Premier League. Yashari on the head of Kizassi. Ah, it's an equaliser. Steered in by De Kuyper. That's the way to hit back. The amount of work put in by those who don't have the ball. Stop the artists, if you like, coming up with painting. But then you get something like that. Mekela, own goal. Dreadful moment for him and for Club Brugge. It's an awkward one, and it's a penalty. It was very awkward, and this would send Villa home in raptures, really, if the Loney can convert it. He does just doesn't matter, it's in.
Some night for Aston Villa, their first season in the UEFA Champions League, former winners of the competition. And comfortably now, with the advantage heading into the second leg. For reaction, let's speak with our UEFA reporter in Bruges, Brecht Skjelstrata. And I began by asking him about the emotions at the full-time whistle for the home side.
Yeah, they were really disappointed. I spoke to Bruges manager Haaien and to the midfielder Onyedika. And all I can say is they are so disappointed. But they really played a good game, Bruges, like they did in every home game, at least here in Bruges. Unfortunately, they were not efficient enough.
Aston Villa most certainly were, particularly in those closing stages, as we heard with the two goals. How impressed were you by their 90-minute performance for Unai Emery and his team?
Yeah, they started amazing with the goal of Leon Bailey. For him, yeah, I think a happy moment because the Jamaican started his career in Belgium, in Genk. And then I think everyone was a bit surprised, or maybe not, that Bruges immediately leveled. And then they were the better the whole game, I think, until the maybe the 60th, 70th minute, where Unai Emery, the Aston Villa manager, decided to put four new players on the pitch, with someone like Asensio entering the field, a three-time Champions League winner. Yeah, you immediately improve your quality. I don't have to explain that. And he showed it. Immediately, he got a big chance. With Mignolet saved it. And then the last 15 minutes were crazy. Aston Villa was all over the place. But Bruges was unlucky as well. They made an own goal. There was the penalty. I think Bruges should have done better maybe before the 60th minute, where they were dominating, where they got good chances with a very good save by Martinez, the world champion of Argentina in the first half, for example. So, again, with a lot of intention. And I must say, I think a very happy Aston Villa who really made a difference in the end of the game.
We know the atmosphere next week at Villa Park is going to be electric. It's Villa's return to the competition after a very, very long absence as well. Is, for you anyway, having seen the game tonight, do you think this is tie over? Or do you think Club Brugge still have a chance of a famous comeback?
If Club Brugge displays a performance of the, the away game in the playoffs in Italy against Atalanta Bergamo, they can beat anyone. Because they're so confident, they just play a very good, dominant play. But I think this Aston Villa has grown in the competition. You cannot compare with the Aston Villa, in November, who lost here in Bruges 1-0. Yeah, with a lot of quality added to the team in the winter, like players like Rashford and Asensio. I think maybe the best is yet to come for Aston Villa.
Very impressive from Unai Emery and his team. And we can hear now from the Villa boss.
Yeah, it's very important, very tough match. My expectation before was more or less the difficulties we had. And the objective was to compete. How? Like the players showed there. Of course, we could play better. We could do something better. But sometimes competing, you can't get as well your target. And today, we showed it.
Villa 3-1 up heading to the return leg on the Wednesday, the 12th of March. And the winner of this tie will face Paris Saint-Germain or Liverpool in the quarterfinals, which brings us very nicely on to Wednesday tomorrow. Match day live on the UEFA.com. The official Champions League app will be on air from 8:45 CET. Full commentary of the first leg from the Parc des Princes. Let's hear from the Liverpool boss, Arne Slot.
I think it's a great fixture to look forward to for everyone who loves football. Both teams scored so many goals this season. Quite similar playing styles, maybe. Not completely, but the ideas are quite similar. Both teams like to have the ball. Both teams work really hard without the ball. So I can come up with six, seven or eight similar things that both teams are doing. So interesting fixture to look forward to.
Another similar thing is the fact both are 13 points clear. Paris in France and Liverpool in England, two teams who have barely lost a game over the last couple of months, Avro. I mean, this is set up. Had they not been paired with each other in the draw, I think many people would be looking at both teams to maybe go, who knows, all the way. Only one can reach the quarterfinals.
Look, if this was November, I will tell you that Liverpool was the clear favourite because Paris was still adapting, adjusting. But, maybe the best performance of the Champions League to date, for me, this personal opinion, was Paris's performance against Manchester City in the second half at Parc des Princes. I think that they did very well. They've got intensity, belief, a couple of footballers that we don't speak enough about, like Vitinha or Fabian Ruiz, who ran that midfield. And Liverpool, on the other hand, they are a winning machine as well. So this is, for me, one of the outstanding games of the competition, really a clash of styles.
Liverpool's return to the Parc des Princes for only the second time. They lifted the trophy there when they beat Real Madrid in 1981. Three other matches on Wednesday. The early kickoff Feyenoord against Inter, a first match in charge in Europe for Robin van Persie, of course a legendary player in Rotterdam. Feyenoord in the Champions League era for the first time through to this stage. Can they make it through to the quarterfinals? Another former winner, of course. These games. Bayern Leverkusen, the all-German Bundesliga battle. Bayern, of course, dethroned by Leverkusen last season. They have a healthy advantage this campaign against Xabi Alonso's team, but Alvaro, in the head-to-heads,
yeah,
Leverkusen have come out better so far this season. So how do you see this one?
I was going to say, I mean, Bayern Munich is in a bulldozer mode right now. They are winning plenty of games in the Bundesliga, and they are through after suffering a little bit in the playoff round. Mm. But these two sides played in February, and that was a 0-0. I think that Bayer Leverkusen right now is more suited for knockout tournaments than for competing in a Bundesliga long league against Bayern, because Bayern has a bigger squad maybe, and they know how to win the Bundesliga again, again, again. Bayer Leverkusen has won one, winning back-to-back Bundesliga is not easy. But I believe that this is a very fascinating encounter, because Bayer Leverkusen knows how to play against Bayern in this kind of individual games. And it's not that Bayer Leverkusen is bad either. They are off the pace in the Bundesliga, yes, but they are 11 points ahead of the third qualified.
Yeah.
So they are having a very good season, even by last season's standards, because I have to say that in the league phase, Bayer Leverkusen was a joy to watch, and they negotiated the league phase qualifying among the first eight. So, you know, this is going to be very tight, 50-50 for me.
First leg in Munich, Bayern against Leverkusen, and the final match we have to talk about, Benfica-Barcelona. This one is a rerun in the league phase. In Lisbon, there were 9 goals. Vangelis Pavlidis scored a first-half hat-trick and ended up on the losing side. Can we expect the same on Wednesday?
It was a man under the rain. Do you remember that one? Yeah, it was beautiful.
Every time you looked at the screen, there was another goal going in.
I just remember Rafinha's goal in the last second of the game, last gasp. You know, Barcelona is a little bit all or nothing this season, but they are playing really good football, and Lamine Yamal is a joy to watch. I mean, it's incredible. He floats in the pitch. And then Benfica is improving gradually. They are still having a shot at the Primeira Liga. And, you know, I think that this game, probably because there has been a little bit of a past between these two sides, maybe a little bit as well, like in a way, like a well fought, the duels can be strong as well. You know, I think that this is going to be one of the interesting ones of tomorrow.
It's interesting you say that, and also the second legs come so quickly now in the round of 16 with the new format throughout the season, which means that if there is a bit of spice, it's only 6 or 8 days before they go back head-to-head. Quickly back to Tuesday to finish, a recap of the scores. Real Madrid 2, Atletico 1, Club Brugge 1, Aston Villa 3, PSV 1, Arsenal 7, and Dortmund 1, Lille 1. I've got a very difficult question to ask Alvaro and Richard before the night is done. Your goal of the night, and this might be the hardest evening of the Champions League to answer that. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Now, Adeyemi, wasn't it, that scored for Borussia Dortmund tonight? I haven't seen that one, but I'm sure it was fabulous. But I am going to go for the man who had the last word in the match that we were watching tonight, the Madrid derby, Brahim Diaz, who twinkle toes, stepped away from a couple of challenges, super finish to win the match, but not necessarily win the tie for Real Madrid.
I will go for Julian Alvarez's goal, because scoring a goal like that against a 2 meters tall goalkeeper is filthy. So he scored a lovely one, and you know, I think that that is for me the goal of the day.
I'm going Adeyemi then. Why not? But we were spoilt on the first night of the last 16. Alvaro, Richard, thank you very much. That's all we have time for. Another brilliant night of knockout stage football in this season's competition. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night, all the way to the final in Munich in May, which feels that bit closer. Matchday Live back on Wednesday. Full commentary of another huge clash as Paris host Liverpool at the Parc des Princes, plus the goals as they go in from the rest of the night's late games. My thanks to Alvaro and Richard and the rest of the Matchday Live team. From me, Chris Parrott, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.